When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
To another edition of the OHIO podcast. I am Buckeye Boggs, that handsome devil over there. Well, that is Chris Wilds, the wild man. And you, this guy doesn't need any introduction at all. You all know him. It's Juck from Juck on Box. And I right, Juck. How about that, man? Dude,
thank you.
Your introduction a couple weeks ago when I couldn't get your name right on a Thursday night for some. I was like, I think my wife was worried I was having like a brain aneurysm or something. She was like, what in the world? You couldn't, like, come on, Eric. Like, come on. It's not that hard. I was struggling, buddy. I was on the struggle bus that
bad.
Yeah. I had a heck of a time putting that thing together, but I was like, man, this is going to be epic. It took forever.
Oh, the chat is alive and well tonight. Thank you so much for everybody who's joining us this Sunday evening, a beautiful Sunday evening in Central Ohio. Chris said it's hot.
Too
were
hot.
Were you at the flea markets again, big dog?
Yeah, I was.
Hopefully you had a good day.
No.
Oh man, let's see who's in the chat.
Humidity,
tonight.
Let me tell you.
Southeast, is it Dago 619? Is that what that is? Yep, Southeast Dago 619 in the house. We got Tyler. He says, OH. We always answer that with a IO.
Hello.
Billy Tuesday's in the house. He says, Juck's meteoric rise continues. Oh, Juck, they're jumping on you already, man. You haven't even had a chance to get anybody mad. CW2's in the house tonight. Good to have him with us as well as we continue down the chat. Mark Swick is in the house. Good evening, all. Good to have you with us, my friend. Good to be with you tonight. Let's see who else might be. Ah, we all know this guy. Sean Schrock's in. He says, what up? Good to see you tonight, Sean. 79 Steely Matt. Hey, all. Good to have you with us tonight in the chat as well. The chat is alive and well. There's a whole bunch more. Man, I'm way behind. Way to go, guys. Andrew. Okay. Andrew, I don't know if this is a compliment or a dig. I'm going to take it as a compliment. This is the most basement bro podcast of all time. I'll take that.
I love it.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so this was brought. Donald Hoffer, good to have you with us tonight as well, Donald. He says it's a nice 66 degrees here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
I wish I was.
That's actually probably like super warm for Alaska, I'm thinking. Now, I've never been there. I know you're stationed there, big dog. I'd like to know more, man. If that's a warm day. Scott Workman, what's up from Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Murfreesboro. I want to see.
You're doing it again.
I am. I'm having another brain aneurysm. It's too much like Streetsboro. What's the problem? I want to say Streetsboro is what I want to say. So I think I made it through everybody in the chat. Good to have you all with us tonight. So this was actually suggested to us from a listener. He says, hey, Boggs, you need to have Juck on your podcast. He's one of my favorites. You and him. I love you guys. I wanted to bring you all on with Scoop. I said, hey, listen, we would be happy to go on the Scoop with Juck. That'd be great. But until then, we're just going to have Juck on. And so it was great to start following Juck. I had seen a couple of your videos before, Juck, and now I'm like listening to everything, watching everything, loving all of it, dude. You have such a unique style. I love it. It's a very pull up a chair, let's sit down, drink a cup of coffee, and talk Buckeyes. I love that, man. It's so good, dude. And it's my honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome to the OHIO podcast.
Thank you so much, brother. And I've been watching you guys since before I started. So I really appreciate you having me on. And it's kind of what I'm going for with the show. So I'm happy that that's the way it's coming across to you.
So we're going to have a couple big picture items to talk about with you tonight. Some things that I know that I've seen you talk about. And so I feel like maybe we can dig in a little bit more and maybe have some good dialogue back and forth about. And then after the commercial break, we're going to open this thing up to the chat and let them ask you some questions, ask maybe some topics that we want to talk about, see where this thing leads us tonight. Because I think there's some things in the off season we need to talk about. I was on a show earlier today, which will be recorded tomorrow. It's the Big Ten Football Talk with Zach Guggenheim. And he wanted to talk to me about this very first topic that you've addressed and this man is passionate about. So
I've heard him. I've heard you, Wild.
I'm going to turn it over to the Wild Man to open up the floor. Let's have a great roundtable discussion. Chat, you chime in. We'll throw your topic. We'll throw your comments up as it relates to this topic. But Chris, take it away tonight, big guy.
All right, Juck. So you said you've heard my take on this already. So I am very passionate about that. I do think Ryan Day is on the hot seat. Before we jump in with my views, though, and exactly why I think that, what is your take on the subject?
So my take is, I mean, I guess it depends, right? So it depends on what you mean by the hot seat. Now, is he on the hot seat with the fan base? I think there's a whole lot of fans that find him on the hot seat. When I hear someone on the hot seat, my take is with his superior, as in like this year, you need to get it done or else. And I just kind of put myself, if that's what you mean by the hot seat, in this position of his superiors. And if I'm analyzing the program right now, as it currently sits after this offseason, with Ryan Day having definitely struggled in big games, it's unacceptable. The big games are, for sure. There's no denying that. The 1-3 record against Michigan is not acceptable. The 3-in-a-row is not acceptable. But we're looking at everything that's happened in this offseason, from the coaching staff changes, giving up play calling, getting rid of the weak links on the coaching staff, and Perry Eliano, getting him out of here, getting Corey Dennis out of here, getting Parker Fleming out, the way he kind of pushed out Tony Alford, made a great hire in Coach Locke to replace him. Hired Laurinaitis, gave Knowles his guy in Guerrieri, who's kind of a really underrated hire at this point. We don't talk about him much, but he's a future defensive coordinator. Being able to keep Hartline happy for so many years and keep him involved and not, you know, moving on. Being involved actively in NIL and bringing that up to one of the best in the country. Yeah, he had a lot to do with that. We all know that. And when you look at all that, along with getting the senior class to basically all come back, that doesn't happen unless they love their coach and their program. Add on to that Saban's retirement and the power vacuum that was created there. Ryan Day ran circles around Texas, LSU, and Georgia in the attempt to fill that vacuum. Ohio State repeatedly like swatted them away with everything and now planted the flag, got Naeem offered, Malik Autry thinking about it, Ziggy Grady thinking about it. The portal was orchestrated beautifully. He hired Sam Petito, Nick Saban's Mark Pantoni, who's from Louisiana, actually made an offer last week. he has the opportunity to win the recruiting crown. And whether he does or he doesn't, Ohio State recruiting has never been as healthy as it is right now. And maybe even more telling than all these things, the parents, the Sanchez family, out there recruiting. I mean, their kid's the best corner in the country, and they're out there pounding the drum, recruiting for him because they believe so much in his program. And then you got a mom like Paris Johnson's mom, and Paris Johnson coming back to Columbus to help recruit David Sanders. And I guess finally, you would kind of look at the culture of the program in general. There's never any off-field problems. There's never any issues with anybody. They represent the program great in the NFL, success in the NFL, the best young quarterback, sings Ryan Day's praises. And when you take all that, if I'm the AD and I'm looking at all of those positives compared to the negatives, I guess what I'm asking myself is, how much longer do I give him before I tear this down if he doesn't get it done? And if I'm doing that, it's definitely not going to be just this one year contingent on just this one game. I just walked into this place. This guy's got it cooking. He's got it cooking. He's got the trend line straight up. And he's definitely getting 2 years if I'm in that position. And in my estimation, that is probably what he's thinking. So that's my case, buddy.
Fair enough. I feel that a lot of what you mentioned actually adds to that pressure and intensifies that hot seat. Because he's gotten so much with the NIL, because he has gotten so much money spent on this coaching staff, so much money spent on this roster, since the recruiting has been so high for the last 3 years, since he's got all these guys coming back, since you do have a new AD, and you know as well as I do, typically when an AD comes in, he likes to bring his people. Do you not think that that doesn't add to the pressure this season, that if he doesn't get it done, if he goes 0-4, if he doesn't win a national title this year, given everything that we've seen, everything we've heard, everything, all the money that's been spent, you know, I mean, we're paying Chip Kelly an absurd amount of money for a coordinator position. We're paying Jim Knowles an absurd amount of money for a coordinator position. You know, we do have the best recruiting assistants in the country, I believe. We've year in and year out had the, you know, among the best recruiting classes in the country, only to fall short. Don't you think that that adds to that pressure to get it done this season, or else, so to speak? Because eventually that NIL money is going to dry up. These boosters are going to dry up if the performance isn't there. At what point do the boosters come out and say, hey, you know what? This guy's just not doing it for us. He's taking us down to the Cooper Road. He is Cooper 2.0. We're not going to wait for 2-10-1.
So I definitely agree that it does add to the pressure 100%. I just really, you have to look at, from my perspective, the alternative. Mm-hmm. And the alternative is kind of tearing everything that he's just now got cooking. And I feel like we've been through all these growing pains through the Ryan Day learning how to be a head coach. Like, we've been through the worst of it. And now he's finally got everything looking like Ohio State's the place to be, the way these recruits talk about Ohio, like they want to come to his program. And that right there is just invaluable. And to make that contingent on, you know, just, I mean, I don't know specifically what you're talking about, like what your criteria is that would be too much for you. Like, that's enough. You got to go. But I've heard people say, all right, if you lose to Michigan, you need to at least make it to the national championship game. And I think that's a fair perspective from a fan's point of view, to be honest. Like, I think that is. I mean, if you're saying like he has to win the national championship or you want him gone. I don't know, man. It's football. It's really, really hard to win a national championship.
It is.
You know what I mean? I think that's kind of that's really an unfair bar, to be honest. That's just to me.
Well, for me, it's like this. If you lose to Michigan again, you have to win the national title. There is no losing to Michigan 4 years in a row and flaming out in the playoffs 4 years in a row, or 3 out of 4 years, you know.
Can I add one thing to this discussion? that I think kind of adds some credence to your point, Chris. And really to your point, Jock, the way Ryan Day, with the help of the collectives, was able to build this roster this offseason is phenomenal, number one, and needs to be credited, mm-hmm. like you did, Jock. But number two, if he fails to beat that team up north again with this roster, I think it's a fair question that the fan base gets to ask is why. And not only that, I believe that the pendulum will swing from the vocal minority saying he's on the seat, hot seat, to the vocal majority now in the ear of the AD saying, you need to do something. This is unacceptable. What's your response to that, Jock?
I don't disagree with that at all. But you know what, like when I listen to Chris, like I hear his passion and his emotion, and I think we would hear a lot more of Chris's take in that situation. I'm just, you know, coming from Chris's perspective, he's talking like a fan and not like somebody who runs an organization. Yeah, I don't think that's the way Chris talks at work. You know what I mean? Like about his operation at work. Like he doesn't add that emotion into it. And Ross Bjork will not be adding his emotion into it, though he will be listening to the fan emotion for sure. And one of the things I always say is I believe the reason, not the reason, but one of the reasons that Ohio State has never gone down. We've never had a dip like anybody else. They've all had multiple dips throughout their program, all the other blue bloods. Ohio State never has. And I believe one of the reasons is because we hold our program so accountable when we see these other fan bases just stump for their program. No matter how many bad decisions they make, they stump and they fight everybody and they always got their programs back. Like they think that's what they should do. But in fact, you should keep your guys accountable. Like, and we do a great job of that. I love that about our fan base. And, you know, a lot of me agrees with Chris. Coming after that Missouri game, like I was like, dude, I'm done. This guy's got one more year, man. Like, that's it. Like, I felt that way. But when I look at a guy who has just made all these changes in himself, like he evaluated his program, and so many of these coaches stick their head in the sand and say, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. All I need is a break. He didn't do that. He tore stuff down. He changed the way he's operating. And I feel like when you do that, to me, if I'm the guy who's running the show above him, I'm looking at a guy, okay, he just made a whole bunch of changes. Let's give him a couple years and see if his changes are going to pay off. Now, do I think this conversation is kind of moot? Yeah, I do, because I think we're going to whoop Michigan all over the field, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. what I think. So I don't think that's really, you know, right now we're talking just to talk about it. But, you know, if you catch me the day after that game, guys, I might be feeling a whole different way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we lost that game, you know what I mean? Like, right now I'm being logical me, like trying to think of the guy who owns businesses and stuff. Like, that's the way I'm thinking now, mm-hmm. right? That might not be the case then. And that's when I would hope that a guy like Ross Bjork would be the not emotional guy and think like, okay, let's look at everything he's done up until this point. He did kind of hit the reset button, change the way he's operating. I think it's fair at that point to now say, okay, as painful as it is to turn it back over to him, if he were to lose to Michigan again, I feel like at this point, he's got 2 years of buy-in from me if I'm the guy running the show. That's just what I'm thinking. And when we talk about an AD, you're absolutely right. You know, they do like to bring in their guys. But, you know, when Ross Bjork was at A&M going through his coaching search, that wasn't really his modus operandi. He went and checked out a coaching firm and came back with Stoops to them, and you know they didn't like that, and you know it wasn't like he had a guy picked out and he wanted to go do it. He kind of deferred to the board, so I don't know if that's really how he's feeling right now. And then we also look at the you know the basketball hire, the way he went about that, for you know just a little bit of you know evidence of how he would kind of maybe go about that. So you know I'm not quite so sure if that's how he's feeling about it, but. You know, it doesn't matter because, like I said, that game is going to be a one-sided affair and we're going to whoop them all over the field.
there's a lot of time between now and the season. In fact, I think Thursday marks 100 days, if I'm not mistaken,
correct,
the beginning of the season. And not only that, there's a whole lot more between now and when we play that team up north. There's a lot that could change. I think in my view of starting to dig into the rosters, they're going to have some really good players on that team still. They've got some holdouts that are going to be some first-round draft picks, early first two-day draft picks. But they are just a couple injuries away from being a 6-6 football team. There is very little depth on that roster. And so there's a lot that could change. And I know they're really feeling themselves right now after winning a natty. But that
for now,
Sherrone Moore could lose that locker room like that if things start to slide away from them. So that being said, I want to transition a little bit to a different conversation because and I saw there was a question in there that I flagged for about Ryan Day in the NFL that we might get to after our commercial break. But I want to talk about a previous coach, and Urban Meyer. This has been, and Juck, I have not heard you talk about this one, so this is going to be interesting to get your take here. On this show, my view of Urban Meyer is very different than our other co-host, Aaron. I have a theory that Urban Meyer is addicted to the win, and that when he doesn't get the W, he is a toxic person because he's so addicted to winning. I think that his life has played that out in multiple ways, just looking at his stint in the NFL, looking at his mental health when he takes one L. And there's some Purdue guys in there, so pat yourselves on the back, guys. That was one of the L's he took, okay? How should Ohio State fans view Urban Meyer, Jupp?
I mean, I guess for starters, like what you just said there, I think is spot on. I mean, absolutely spot on. We've seen the mental health issues. We know that. And we saw a lot or heard a lot more of it after he left about kind of what a tyrant he was to around the Woody. It didn't sound like a pleasant experience for a lot of people to work under him or play for him. But they won, and that made up for a lot of that. But in my opinion, a guy who's from the state like he is, whose mentor was Earl Bruce, who the way the timing aligned for him to get the job, everything just fits so perfectly to going and winning a national championship for us, to then when he took that job at Jacksonville, not doing what Harbaugh did, not giving a damn about his program. He didn't come and try and say, Mick Pantone, the guys that have been with me forever, I need your help here in Jacksonville. He was willing to sacrifice some of that. He could have had a better program in Jacksonville had he went and got those guys, his guys. And he said, no, I'm not going to touch that program. I respect my people too much. And honestly, I feel like he is a guy who loves his people. Like, and that's the way I feel about like other Ohio State fans. And I just feel that he feels that way. And I revere him as a man. He's screwed up. So have I. You know what I mean? Like, he's not perfect for sure, but I never would have chosen anybody else for that period of time when we lost a guy who I look to as someone I might respect more than anybody in this world, and Jim Tressel. And things could have gone bad. You know what I mean? Things could have gone way downhill after that, the way that happened so fast. And he was right there to just kind of save the day and take certain things of the program into the new era. And I'll always revere him. Like, I really, like, reverence is how I look at him.
It's really, like, I feel like the Ohio State fans, they love Urban, but at the same time, it's kind of like when anybody starts to bring anything up outside of the results on the field, we all go. Like, we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. Like, I think most people would look at Urban and say, gosh, I love the results. Let's talk about how great of a man Tressel is. Like, that's like, and it's funny you went that way because, and you brought Tressel up because it's the same thing we all do. I really do feel like it's like, you know, we love Urban's as the results, but as a man, it's kind of icky to talk about. Is that fair?
I can definitely see how some people would feel that way. I don't myself, right? But I get that there is some of that. But there, I have a lot of things about my own personality that are like him, and that's maybe why I give a lot of it a pass.
I get you. Okay.
Eric, ultimately, though, he's a winner.
Yes.
If not for the stupidity of Gene Smith, the man has two national titles at Ohio State.
Absolutely.
Cut and dry.
100%.
He is a winner. 83-9. 83-9.
You know, we did that video.
I never lost to Michigan.
Yeah, 7-0, baby. 7-0 room there at Urban's Pint House, right? We did a video on Thursday, and we cut a video from Thursday that we talked about before we did the call-in show about Big Ears, Paul Feinbaum, and the SEC, right? Which, by the way, that video is doing great right now. Like, we are pulling in a lot of SEC hate who want to drop their comments in the comment section on that video.
Thanks for the dollars, guys.
Yeah, thanks for your coin, as we like to say, whenever they come in there and want to hate on us. There's one thing that Paul Feinbaum said that I kind of agree with. Urban Meyer did leave some national championships on the table. Looking at you, 2015, like, guys, that roster, you know, was loaded. And you're right, Chris. I think Gene Smith gets the blame for the first one in 2012.
2015, he was messing around with the quarterback situation.
Well, it was the play calling that screwed that up.
Yeah, he tried to make Cardale run JT's playbook.
At the beginning of the season, yes. Well, but all you got to do is turn around and hand the ball off to Zeke, and we beat Michigan State. We go on to win the Big Ten. We're going to win a national championship. I mean, come on, how difficult is that? But at the end of the day, when I think about Urban, Juck, I kind of feel like it was good, but it could have been better. Do you feel that way at all? Do you get that kind
Absolutely.
Of like? Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. I'm not the only
one. Oh my gosh. It eats me up. It really does. You know, Michigan State, skip a year, Purdue, Iowa. It's just like, man. And no, not every one of those teams would have cashed in, but you know, we got to say we think at least one of them would have, right? Like I think 15 does for sure. You know, potentially another one. And that's just it's rough, right? And this is the thing about Ryan Day that I really like. He doesn't ever let him get down for the garbage teams. And, you know, we had three seasons spoiled with those type of games. You know, it's not as fun or sexy. But, I mean, if you could kind of combine those two in that aspect, boy, you'd be unstoppable. The big game guy and the guy that never loses to the crap team. But, yeah, absolutely. Feinbaum's right about that. One of the few things.
Yeah, he's not right about much, but he is right about that. All right. Thank you so much for answering those. I do have one quick question, two of them, before we take a commercial break, and then we really just open this thing up to the chat and let them have fun with asking some questions. We got some really good ones. Let me see if I can find them. All right. I actually know the answer to this one, but I'll have you let you answer it, Juck. This is from Bobby McCormick. Is that Juck's actual wall or a background? I need to know how jealous I am.
You see that? Did you see it? I've been accused of having a green screen 100 times. Yes, that's my real wall. I'm going to get up and touch something.
That's awesome. And that being said, we do have some We do have some Purdue guys that are good friends with us and associates of us, of ours in the college huddle. DK, Juck, I'm going to need to see a Purdue helmet before the show's over. Do you got a Purdue helmet behind you?
I don't. I got some more over there, but not Purdue. But I, all right, it's on the list, buddy. I got a couple requests.
He only has winners, Dylan.
You need a Purdue. Hold on. There we go.
Bingo.
There we go. Just for you, Dylan. The Chris Wilds Memorial Trophy. It's our.
Oh yeah.
It's our half Purdue, half Buckeye trophy helmet that we share with the Purdue podcast
But they've never had the opportunity to win.
Not yet. They'll get their opportunity in the shoe this year. Don't think that's gonna go so well for them either. But there you go, buddy. I thought I'd share that with you.
You ever seen episode of South Park, Eric, where they have the Pee Wee football going and the one team's favored to win by like 78 points? I kind of feel like that's where we'll be with Purdue this year.
Woo. That's quite the prediction. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we got some questions for Juck and some topics you guys want to dive into. And I won't say nothing's off limits because that's not true. There are certain questions we're not going to ask. But feel free to ask your questions. Throw them in the chat. We'll see how many we can get to tonight.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. Okay, let's see here. I starred a couple and the chat has just been crazy. See if I can find them. There's one of them, but that's the second one I want to ask. The first one, there we go. Found it. Here it is. All right, Juck, what are your thoughts on Ryan Day leaving for the NFL? I honestly think he will do a Nick Saban when he was at LSU, win a title, maybe two if we are lucky. Go to the NFL as a head coach.
My thought was, if he was interested, he would have done it already. Like, I really felt like a couple years ago, it was kind of, it just felt to me like there was a lot of smoke there. And he was, it just seems to me like he is the type of guy who always has wanted to go back to the NFL. But when I look at the last couple of years, I get the feeling he's getting more entrenched in the college game. Like, he always felt like a rental from the NFL. Like, that's the way he always felt to me. But I've kind of changed my stance on that. I feel like he's kind of adapted and really starting to enjoy the college game. And, you know, a lot of that, again, is the stuff that I pointed out, that the way he's kind of changed some things about how he coaches. You know, he kind of liked coaching like an NFL coach, but he seems to be really entrenched into the culture of the program, the way things are done like that, you don't get that in the NFL. I felt like he came to us as more robotic, like an NFL coach, and he's kind of changed some things. So, you know, obviously not out of the question, but I don't think it's on the horizon for him anytime soon, like I did a couple years ago. What do you guys think?
I was always worried he would go to New England, the Patriots.
Me too.
But then that didn't happen. Okay, little inside baseball, guys. I don't know how much I should say this. I don't want to get in trouble. Ryan Day lives in a school district that I know. How about that? Mm-hmm. Is that fair enough to say? And he has made it very clear to certain people that when he got the head coaching job, he was not going to pull his kids away from that school district. He could have moved in the Mirfield Village and lived the urban lifestyle. He has a very nice home where he lives, but he, as Ohio State's coach, he can afford more than where he's at. He wants his kids to have stability. He's got three of them. And I don't think he looks at one of them more favorably than the other. He's going to be here a while. Does that answer everybody's question on my two cents on that without.
How old's the youngest one, Eric?
Want to say just now getting to late elementary, early junior high, fifth, sixth grade.
All right.
Yeah. We got 5-6 solid years left here. Now, RJ, who's going to be a sophomore in high school this year, he's going to go on to play college football. Where that is going to be very interesting to me.
Isn't it?
Because he might be good enough to get a Power 5 Division 1 Scully. Right now, he's got two offers. Boston College, which was kind of, I think, a friendly offer. And then I think the one that's legit is Marshall.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
I hadn't heard that.
Now, he visited two schools on spring break.
Clemson,
he went
of course.
To South Carolina, and he visited Clemson and South Carolina. Great schools to visit if you're on spring break, if you ask me. I mean, I thought it, you know. Now, we did a fun tongue-in-cheek video about that Ryan Day, what kind of conversation Ryan Day and Dabo Swinney had in his office, you know, that people took way too seriously. We were just having fun with it, but we got called all kinds of names for that one. But RJ made it perfectly clear that his dream's to play for his dad. And so, and who can blame a kid, right?
Sure.
That boy has grown up in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
Yeah.
Idolizing all these quarterbacks that's come before him. And he's going to be able to be a walk-on if he wants to be. No one's going to stop him from doing that.
Right.
But he's good enough. I think he might be good enough. Speaking of Purdue, maybe go to Purdue.
Too good for Purdue. Yeah.
I don't think he would, but this is going to be interesting because I think Ryan Day is going to have to basically say, like, you come here and I put you in and you fail. Oh my, can you imagine the backlash? Like that is a dynamic that is just crazy to think about, man, for real.
I would not want that one. I wouldn't want them to touch that with a 10-foot pole just as a family. Like, yeah, man, that's just ugh. But I'm impressed that he got a Marshall offer. I hadn't heard that. I've watched him at the Elite 11 in Columbus. I was watching some video on him and I was kind of impressed. I was like, I'll be damned. I thought he was just tagging along at first with this kind of stuff. And I'm like, this kid's really pretty legit, you know, pretty impressive. Didn't look like an Ohio State prospect or a Big Ten prospect to me, but I mean, I'm impressed that he's got some.
Where I would love for him to go? New Hampshire.
That'd be cool.
Isn't that poetic?
That would be really cool.
I think that would be poetic. All right. Billy Tuesday, I see you, man. I'm getting to it. If we get rid of Day, who's next? Now, this is when, Chris, we need to do our selfish plug here. All it costs you is $3.99 to join, become a member of the OHIO podcast, and you get free behind-the-scenes content that we have made, and after a month, you'll get your official OHIO podcast member t-shirt. The video Chris and I have behind the paywall is who we think Ross Bjork's list of possible coaching candidates are. Every athletic director, Chuck, you know this, they have a secret list of who they would call if they needed to make a phone call for a head coach. We talk about that list, and you brought up what he did with the coaching hire for basketball, and that plays a little bit into what Chris and I think he might do if Ryan Day were to no longer be the head coach here at Ohio State. So $3.99 a month, hit the join button. You'll get that video behind the paywall just for our members. Check that out. Little selfish plug for you to become a member of the OHIO podcast. Plus, if you think we do good work, it's like what? One coffee from Starbucks? Is the cost of that?
You can't get a Starbucks coffee for $3.99.
I don't drink coffee, so I wouldn't know. All right, Chuck, if we get rid of Day, who's next?
Gosh, man. So this is a tough one, right? Because the guy that I would love to have is just a little bit old, but it's Lance Leopold, man. Like, from Kansas. He's just amazing. What this dude has done with Kansas, and if you ever just sit and like listen to him talk about what he's done and how he's gone about it, just incredible, absolutely incredible. On top of that, you know, we all watched him kind of take over Mount Union when he was at Wisconsin Whitewater. He built that program from nothing to take over Mount Union, who was just absolutely on top of the world. And slowly Whitewater got with them and then overtook them, won 6 national championships there, went to Buffalo, got them ranked. Then what he's done at Kansas, just incredible. It's Kansas football. You know, we watched former good coaches, Charlie Weiss, Les Miles, go there and just absolutely make an embarrassment of themselves. This guy has Kansas in position to compete for Big 12 titles every year. Now from this point moving forward, that's insane to me that we've never seen that in our lives, like ever in our lives. And he is a bit old, but man, I feel like you get him or even Chris Klieman at Kansas State, either one of those dudes, I think would be an absolute home run. But you know, they're not the sexy hires. Obviously there's some guys out there that I don't think would come to Ohio State. Like, Lanning, obviously, he's the guy I would choose first if you could choose anybody and get him out. I really think that dude's just in bulk. He's not going to leave. I think that the deal with Alabama was they said, look, we'll give you a blank check, whatever you want to do. And he said, all right, I'll stay. And he's using that checkbook for sure. But, yeah, he'd be my number one choice if you could pull anybody from anywhere.
Should we give him one that no one's thinking about?
Are we talking about my guy?
Go for it.
I think you pick up the phone. Like I said, you dial that 216 area code 440, whatever it is up there right now. There's a guy sitting up in Cleveland as an analyst right now. Had a pretty good NFL head coaching career. Not great, but pretty decent. That's Mike Vrabel. I know that there's rumors that he's not, you know, a big fan of recruiting, but you know what? He can recruit, and more importantly, if he surrounds himself with the right people, as we've seen, you know, with Ryan Day, you can have the right people as assistants doing that majority of that recruiting for you the right way. So I really think that Vrabel for me, if not Vrabel, you know, I'd love to have tapped Fickell before he got to Wisconsin and tried to bring him back, but yeah. Of course, you know, Day was still in place. So if Day would have been let go after last season, or if he'd gone to the NFL in one of the last two seasons, you know, obviously Fickell would have been my guy. But Vrabel's out there. He's just waiting for us. I truly believe that's why he is not a coach somewhere else right now, is he is sitting back waiting to see what happens with Ryan Day versus Michigan this year.
And or waiting to see what happens in Cleveland.
Possibly.
Which is another possibility. So,
either way, he's going to be in good shape.
Yeah. Keep your eye on Coach Drinkwitz in Missouri. You mentioned the Kansas coaches. Keep your eye on Drinkwitz. He's an SEC guy. We have a former SEC athletic director. There's some ties there. All right. Here's some fun questions for you. Donald and Karen. Juck, who's your favorite Buckeye player?
Chris Spielman. We're talking all time?
All time, yeah. I'm guessing.
Yeah, Chris Spielman. Without a doubt, not close, hands down. Nobody else comes close. Childhood idol, absolutely love him. And he even maybe liked the Detroit Lions for a while when I was a kid. Like, that's how much.
Oh, whoa. That's impressive. I was really excited when he went to Cleveland. And I remember watching the preseason game when he got hurt. And it,
yeah,
like I almost cried. Yeah. I was in high school and I was just like, oh my. And I'm a Bengals fan. So, I mean, that's how much I love Spielman, right? I don't know where you live. I live in Delaware, just north of Columbus. And I remember him on the radio when I was in college. Like, he was it in Columbus, Ohio. And then going through what he went through with Stephanie. And what he's and how they have taken that and just transformed that into what is, what has become such a huge part of Central Ohio, the Cruise for Cancer and being a Buckeye and the Stephanie Spielman Foundation and just, gosh.
Well, we talked about it. They set out to raise $700,000 initially, and they've raised $26 million now.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible. And do you remember?
That's impressive.
I don't know how many people caught this because it wasn't on, because he was such a big personality on the radio and he was no longer on the radio. And this was before he went back to Detroit with the job he has. He did a podcast for about a couple of years. And on that podcast, he was selling his memorabilia and then turning around and giving that money to people who were affected by COVID. That's the kind of person he is.
Class guy.
He kept just a handful of things that meant personally to him. He sold everything else. All his jerseys, game-worn jerseys, cleats, gloves. He sold it all.
Where was I for this, man?
I know, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Odysseus, 2002. Juck. Favorite OSU quarterback?
Oh, I mean, it's Troy, but it's really, 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 really close with JT. I just love JT's leadership. I love the way that he kind of he was so limited, right? He was so limited, and he knew it, and he owned it, right? But
yeah,
but he was such a dude for Ohio State. He loved Ohio State. His teammates loved him. Everything about him he's just a classic, but he's a legend, right? And I'm even someone who, at several points in his career wanted him yanked, right? Like I still, even with him on the bench, like I just love the dude. Troy, Troy's just something special, man. Troy was just something special. He absolutely, Kirk Barton talks a lot about Troy and how he feels he really saved the program from falling into obscurity. And I think he makes a really great point with that.
Chris, who was your favorite quarterback? I don't know if I've ever asked you that question.
For me, it's a toss up here, and it's going to be two, one you might expect and one maybe not so much. One of those being Justin Fields. I just thought he was a gritty, gutsy guy. That play where he took that shot to the ribs, stood back up, come in against Clemson and threw a touchdown on the very next play. That just showed the kind of guy he was. And the other one for me, I'll tell you, Eric, Craig Krenzel. The guy was not the most talented guy in the world as far as the arm talent goes, but just a winner, a very smart player. And he had some stones, Eric. Had stones. Whether it was running out of the pocket or whether it was on fourth and one throwing a 17-yard pass, it was – for me, it had to be one of those two guys. I lean more towards, Justin Fields probably because he was the flashier, the bigger number guy. But, man, you can't underestimate what I think Craig Krenzel did for this program.
This is
I have a soft game. Spot for lesser talented guys. I just have a soft spot. You know what I mean? But I'm with you. Absolutely.
Sorry, Eric loves JT Barrett, in case you didn't know that, Joe.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I have purposely avoided the JT Barrett podcast. Like, I'm not like doing an episode about JT Barrett because I know how many people love him. And I'm afraid to just let my feelings out.
Listen, bro, I'm 100% with you if you're talking about, like, how frustrating it was to watch him play at times. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? Just the dude. I'd like to hear your take on it.
No, not tonight.
But then that Penn State comeback, Eric.
That was amazing, though. I was there. That was amazing.
No matter what the loserian said, he got the yard. He got the yard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. 79 Steely Matt. Dude, I have a story for you. Jim Karsatis. By the way, Jim Karsatis was a gift from the football gods for Ohio State as a personality. Okay. Yes. He used to be the on the field commentator for the radio program years and years and years ago.
Okay? I remember.
I'm talking when I was a kid. I have a story for you. This is a hilarious story. So when I was a kid, I grew up in Mount Vernon in Knox County, and they would have a yearly 2-on-2 basketball tournament, and they would to raise money for the Little League, which was a big deal back then. We're talking like Mount Vernon Little League used to be like the Sandlot, dude. You had different neighborhoods within the community that had baseball teams, and you would play each other. It was fantastic. Not so much anymore, but they would raise money back then for the Little League. And a part of that 2-on-2 tournament was they would bring someone big in to sign autographs. They brought Paul O'Neill in one year. He's usually a baseball player. But Jim Karsatis would show up every year and for hours would stand in the cafeteria where they would hang a tire up. And for a dollar, you could challenge Jim Karsatis to throw the football, see if you could beat him throwing the football through the tire. And I forget, you would win a prize or something like that. And he would sit there and just annihilate us as kids and talk trash to us. Like, awesome. I remember stepping up and he goes, okay, let's see your arm, big guy. Think you're going to beat me? Like, he was just talking all kinds of trash. I literally saw kids walk away crying because he was just brutal.
Was it like that Peyton Manning football camp on Saturday
night? And he never missed, dude. He would just ping, ping, ping all day long. I remember him saying to me, he's like, I can do this all day long. I was like, oh, my gosh. But the dads, they would all give us money to walk up and get embarrassed by Jim Karsatis, and they'd all sit back there laughing at us, all the dads. It's a great memory I have of Jim Karsatis. Thank you for bringing him up. How about this guy? 1996, I was an eighth grader. My cousin Ryan Miller is the starting linebacker, right? And you've got the Big Cat's a freshman. Wilhelm, I think, is the middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Well,
speaking of Vrabel, you got Vrabel on the defensive line on one side, you got Fick on the other side, right? And there's this little babyface assassin quarterback named Joe Germain.
Joe Germain.
That dude, like, I wish that guy could have played in a Ryan Day offense.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would be talking about like complete. Now he, a lot of people don't realize he went to the NFL and played for quite a few years. He was a backup.
He was the Rams, wasn't he?
Oh yeah. He's with the Rams for quite a while. And yeah, I was in eighth grade as well, 96, my man. So we might be the same age, Southeast. That night when they went to the Rose Bowl and beat Arizona State, that was the night of my baptism in this cult we call Ohio State fandom. That was the night. I was an eighth grader, my cousin's on TV, and I remember that feeling I had hitting Boston in the corner of the end zone, and he struts in, and the wave of emotion that hit me when I jumped up and celebrated. That was, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. That was the night I was all in, and I've never looked back as an Ohio State fan that night. So I have a soft spot in my heart.
But
I was a sophomore in high school. I was had just gotten into drinking heavy, and the night before I had done that.
Sophomore in high school?
I slept through the entire first half of the game, but I woke up to see the end. But yeah, that was not a proud moment. But I remember it. It really stands out to me because I was so sick that day. Oh my gosh, it was the worst ever. But yeah, amazing game.
79 Steely Matt Wilhelm was 99 to 2000. Who am I thinking of?
He's right because and
who am I thinking of this off of the... Who was the other linebacker?
Was that a Greg Bellisari year?
He could have been.
I have to look it up now.
But Eric, anyway, who was your favorite quarterback interview? Because I saw the name thrown up there in this chat.
our greatest interview of all time is Greg. Greg Fry. If you guys want to sit down for 45 minutes.
He blew it up that day.
And be like, Eric and Chris were not prepared for that. Go watch our interview with Greg Fry.
Really?
Greg Fry comes
Super
on.
Super nice
show.
Guy, first
oh,
of all.
Great guy. Great guy. He comes on our show and was like, no holds barred. Here we go. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about everybody.
Whoa.
Specifically yeah. one John Cooper.
Hammered John Cooper.
Really?
Yeah. Hammered him that night. And I'm at the time we are just getting our YouTube off the ground. So a lot more people were listening to us on like, you know, audio than they were watching us at the time. And I remember thinking it's a good thing we're not very popular on YouTube yet. Cause I'm pretty sure the next day there would have been articles written.
Oh yeah.
Go watch that, guys.
The looks on our faces, that's the best part.
If you go to our YouTube channel, we actually have a link at the bottom for where we have interviews. This one will go in that one as well. But we have interviews, and in that interview, scroll down, you'll find Greg Fry's interview and watch that bad boy. Yeah. I'm seeing Bellisari was the linebacker.
Yeah.
And Finkus was who I was thinking of. But Finkus was on the line, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, what a great team that was, man.
Oh, that offense, that defensive line was a beast.
That was one of the teams, Juck, that quite frankly should have won a national championship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What a
96, 98, hands down. Probably there's another one too. So did we get it? Do we have someone?
There's been a JR sighting, Eric.
I think he look who it is.
That was an adventure.
How's that Amish internet working out there for you, JR?
It's not the Amish internet. It's my wife invited all of her teacher friends over, so I've got 8 teachers in the house all trying to use the same Wi-Fi.
I can relate to this.
Right? You know how it goes.
I do. We have regular crashes at school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now that JR is here, guys, it's time to wrap this thing. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Overtime tonight just for JR.
JR, yeah. We're having a good time. We're doing kind of just like,
well, you know, I couldn't miss my guy Juck. All right, me and Juck. Yeah. Almost every single episode, I leave him a comment, and he responds to every single comment. I give him major props because I think responding to the comments probably takes just about as long as it does to actually make the videos. Wouldn't you say, Juck?
I learned how to use the text or talk to text, and it sped it up.
There you go.
So, JR, but, why don't you fire a question, my man? Go for it.
Oh, I've been watching. There have been so many questions. I wanted to ask about the quarterback. That was actually one of my questions I was going to ask Juck. But Juck, we were having a conversation last week about best coach and stuff like that. I'm not going to ask you who you think the best coach is, but what's the coach in Ohio State history that you just connected best with? I'm not saying he was the best coach in Ohio State history, but you just really, really connected with him and felt like you had a strong attachment to his time when he was at Ohio State. I think I can guess who it is, but
I have so much respect and reverence for Jim Tressel, and I just he's just a guy he's such a stone cold winner. But the way he goes about his business, the way he respects everybody, he's just so nice and kind to everybody. He's been at my restaurant a couple of times, and he's just like, people come up to him like rudely while he's eating, asking him for autographs. Like, it doesn't matter. He stops what he's doing, he takes pictures. He's just the sweetest dude, and I just absolutely adore him. I don't know, man. I don't think there could ever be another guy in the history of Ohio State football that would make me feel the way I feel about that man.
Wait a second. Did you just say restaurant, my restaurant? Do you not want to talk about this, or can I ask you about this?
All right, go ahead.
Juck, you got a restaurant, Juck? What? How did I not know this?
No, it's not something I've ever said. I just kind of slipped out. Yeah, I'm in the restaurant business.
Okay, all right. Off. I'm going to have to find out some more offline here. We've got a 99 super chat.
That's a $9.99
super chat. I'll take a $99 super chat, though. I'll definitely take that. Hey, appreciate it. He says, love the show, fellas. Juck, why is Coach Locke suddenly recruiting offensive linemen? Keep grinding, brother. DB33 or bust. I know the answer to this one because I just watched your video.
Yeah.
Thank you for the super chat, my friend. Appreciate it. Go for it, Juck. Yeah.
Coach Locke has been down in doing his running back recruiting down in Mississippi and down in Texas, and they're currently in a mad scramble to offer more offensive linemen because the narrow net that was cast by Justin Fry, which was an intentional strategy, didn't work. So we've seen a flurry of offers, probably 8 offers in the last 14 days, very odd for this time of year. And he hasn't even been able to go see all these guys to offer him. So he had Coach Locke offer Henry Finucane down in Texas. And he had him, I think, the kid Mario Nash in Mississippi as well. So, you know, just I really think there's a lot of positive momentum going on with the offensive line right now. And that is thanks to the way these guys are viewing Ohio State. And, you know, we've got some really promising guys that all of a sudden are in the fold and have taken to Ohio State like really fast, like big eyes, like, yes, 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 I want it. So I think it's going to end up good for us, but, you know, it'll be not by any good strategy that was employed by Justin Fry. It'll be because of the mad scramble.
And Juck, what Justin Fry is somebody that we are very critical of here. What is your take on Justin Fry? Cause honestly, I think that, you know, earlier in the show, you talked about all the positives that Ryan Day made with the coaching staff. Personally, I think that he was one of the negatives that should have been addressed.
This is my opinion, buddy. So I believe that Justin Fry is the last holdover of old Ryan Day. I think he's horrific. I can't stand him. I can't stand anything about him. I think everything he does sucks. And I pick him apart on a daily basis. And I feel bad doing it because it's a constant theme. And I'm like, man, am I unfair to this guy? Like, am I unfair? Or is all this just so wrong? Everything he does, I disagree with. The way he goes about every single thing, I disagree with. And even when I listen to him in an interview, he makes my skin crawl. When I see him interacting with the players, they don't think he's funny, but he thinks he's funny. Like, everything about him, I can't stand.
And do you think that if we do make some splashes on that offensive line, it's going to be more Locke, Chip Kelly, and Ryan Day's influence than anything with Justin Fry, obviously?
And Ohio State and the current momentum of it. Yeah. I don't feel like I should shut up. Yes, the answer. Yes. I don't think this guy's got it. Yeah.
Well, I'll bring up one last thing. Jack, we were talking about it the other day. We were talking about Justin Fry and all this stuff and everything. I brought up just an insane stat in my mind. PFF, you know how they do like run blocking grades and stuff like that for the team? The first year that Justin Fry was hired, UCLA, the school he was previously at the end of the year, had a better run blocking grade than Ohio State. The first year Justin Fry was at Ohio State. That was the year he had Paris, DeJuan Jones, Luke Whipler. I mean, he had draft picks out the wazoo, and UCLA still had a better run blocking grade on offensive line, according to PFF, than Ohio State. I think you should be fired too.
Yeah.
$2 holler from Sean Strock. Juck, why do you love Justin Fry so much? And then Mello responds with another $2 holler. Thank you, Mello. Good to see you tonight, my friend. Fry, by the way, Mello, you need to call back into our call-in show on Thursday night, dude. That was an A+ five-star call, my man. Fry will never get fired. Chip and Day's bestie.
My fear.
That sounds like a terrible strip, yeah. Like strip bar. Chip and Day's bestie. It's a really bad boy band. One of the two. $2 holler. Fry will.
I want to ask you guys something. So to Mello's point, I kind of have this feeling that little threesome right there is kind of like the circle of trust going on. And I kind of fear Mello's right with that. I fear that that bringing Chip on gives Fry even more insulation to that kind of thing. And I feel like we're stuck with him.
Yeah. Especially if the run game, and it should be much better. I mean, my gosh, right. You've got one of the best duos in all of college football, number one. And number two, I think the offensive line, it should improve. I mean, if it doesn't, what are we doing here? Like, there needs to be some serious questions here. You have four starters returning. You got a guy who has 2 years worth of starting under his belt. I mean,
if it doesn't improve, I may not survive the season, Eric.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. So, my gosh. All right. Any more questions, guys? Any last questions for Juck? I don't want to hold him over. He's been so gracious with his time here on the OHIO podcast, and we've just been tickled pink to have you on, my friend. Love the show. As we wait for any last second questions, tell everybody where they can find you, because if someone's watching tonight and they aren't currently watching you, they need to. So where can they find you at, my man?
So you can find me at Juck on Bucks on YouTube, same handle on X, and I'd love to talk to you. Pop in, drop a comment in the video. I respond to 96% of them. 4% don't agree, and I leave them alone. But I'd love to talk to you guys.
Yeah. All right, Doreen, thank you so much for being here tonight, Queen. Juck, 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 she says. So she likes the Juck show. No doubt about it. 79 Steely Mac agrees. We love Juck. How about this comment? Man, this was a nice one. From Southeast Dago 619. This was definitely
Thanks,
better
Dago.
Than watching Josh Pate. Heck yeah. I'll take that. I will take that. Any chance that 4% is also the 2% you were talking about the other day?
Oh, the 0.002%? Oh, no, that's us, guys.
Yeah, okay.
We're the 0.002%. That's all of us in this room.
Fantastic. Mello with another $2 holler. We need the four horsemen once a week. Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little four horsemen in your life. You know what I'm saying? Usually this gives Chris a woo. He loves
woo!
There it is. He loves him some four horsemen. Thank you, Mello, for the $2 holler. Appreciate that. Yeah, we'll do this again, guys. Absolutely. If Juck's down, we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
Doreen, that's mad. That is mean, but it's also very funny. So I'm going to put it on the screen because I find the humor in this comment. And so I'm going to go ahead and allow this tonight. I will allow this humor. I'll just let people read it. If you're listening to the audio version, you need to be watching the live shows because then you miss out on great inside jokes like this. Thank you, Doreen. That's
hey, Eric.
I like that.
She is the queen. She cannot be wrong.
This is true. This is true.
Roll with right. it. Let's take that.
This is true. Drake, thank you so much, man, for that comment. Fun show.
Look at Dago. Look at Dago's comment right there. I'm definitely tripping.
Oh, that's my hilarious. God. So Chris, myself, and Aaron actually ran into them in West Lafayette. It was awkward.
It was uncomfortable.
It was awkward.
There is nobody in Ohio State media that I disagree with more. It's like everything that comes out of that dude's mouth, I'm like the opposite way. Like everything. It's just uncanny how someone can be on the wrong side of every single issue, but he is. He manages it.
You like Doug LaMaurice, right?
I really respect. I grew up loving Doug. There's a lot about him recently that I'm not thrilled with, but he is a guy who I always loved. Made sure to read. I'm from Northeast Ohio, so he was in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and just a guy that I really really liked. But you know. Some things recently, we've been in some spats, and I'm just kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of over him, really, to be honest. But no, I did formerly really, really like him. He's getting a little bit curmudgeon-y in his old age, a little bit too much. He's always been a little curmudgeon-y.
This is funny.
Did you see the one above that, though?
I did. I'm going to get to that in a second. This is funny. To be fair, Austin Ward is right more than my ex-wife ever was. Dude, that's funny. I get that. That is funny. Okay, I got to bring this up to close out. This guy's on, he's over on the Always Irish sometimes. He loves to poke Ohio State fans. Loves to poke Ohio State fans.
He likes to poke me, bro.
Oh, does he jump on your stuff and make comments too?
Oh, yeah, it gets me on Twitter too. He tags me in everything about Ohio State.
You know, can I just address this, Eric, by saying, sure. Like I said in your post, Notre Dame had better win at least 10 games with that schedule this season, even with a head coach that only knows how to trot out 10 guys on defense. I'm telling you, because that is the softest schedule I have ever seen. USC is the toughest team on the schedule, yeah. And they're not even the toughest team in their own conference.
That conference is our conference, by the way, now.
Well, I know that. That's why I said they're not even the toughest team in the conference. I'm not sure they're top five.
I gotta ask Michael a question. How are you a Notre Dame fan, but you're also a Dallas fan who lives in Washington, D.C.? Based off your name, that's how I'm reading this. Dallas fan in D.C. So you're a Notre Dame fan. And a Dallas Cowboys fan.
So he loves the Cowboys and the Cons.
That I've wondered that about your name for a long time, man. Like, where's your loyalty? Like, where's this all come from? I gotta know, dude.
He loves the Catholics, the Cons, and the crooked politicians.
And that, my friends, is why he's the wild man right there. There we go. This was a lot of fun, guys. We will do this again. Thank you so much, everybody. Please hit the like button. If you haven't already, share this. As soon as we're done, you can grab the link from our YouTube channel, share it all over the place, let everybody know. This is what we do on a weekly basis. We come on here on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern, have a roundtable discussion. Sometimes it's just Chris, myself, JR. Sometimes we bring on a guest, and we have a lot of fun. We'll have you back on, Juck. There's no doubt about that. When we get closer to the season and things really start to ramp up, I will definitely bring you back on, and we'll talk a little preseason, what should we expect, and things like that. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't forget, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, our call-in show. I think we figured the whole gremlin thing out, and if you guys are wondering
goblins.
What we're talking... Goblins, sorry.
Goblins.
By the way, Gremlins, great movie from the 80s.
Yes, it was.
Christmas movie, by the way.
It is not a Christmas movie!
If you're going to count Die Hard, you got to count Gremlins.
I don't count Die Hard either!
That's all okay. I'm saying.
All right. Fair.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. 8 o'clock. We will be back Thursday night, 8 o'clock, call-in show. Make sure you check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Till next time, OH!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.